there is power, there is power in a band of working folk. When we stand hand in hand, that's the power, that's the power that must rule in every land. One industrial union grand.
Good morning, this is Fran Michelle here with Hyung Nam to talk about May Day.
So some of the struggles that we will be addressing will be not only things like healthcare and the rising cost of housing, that if we really consider how wages have been stagnant, but the cost of healthcare, which really, even when people have insurance, not only the rising premiums, but growing out-of-pocket costs, cost sharing, deductibles, and so on, and rising price of housing really has meant that if we count those costs, rather than just the cost of food, that poverty levels are actually much higher than they are officially. If we count those costs, poverty levels right now are more like 51%. And so this is a serious time that we need to not only fight for a minimum wage floor of at least 15, but single-payer health care and many other issues as well.
The history of May Day has been about worker solidarity. It started most famously in relation to demands for the 8-hour day in the late 19th century.
Yes, our struggles today that we are highlighting and also celebrating the activism and work of many different groups really is a continuation of the struggles from the very first roots of May Day, which have to do not only with workers' rights, but also struggle of immigrants as workers, struggle against racism, struggle against the police that have historically sided to protect capitalists against labor.
Yeah, I mean, famously, the Haymarket riots, as they were called, came about in Chicago after there was a workers' demonstration on May Day in 1886, which was part of the call for an 8-hour day, and the police killed a number of strikers in the Chicago area. So there were then demonstrations in response and protest against that police violence, which led to further police harassment and violence. A bomb was thrown. It wasn't really clear who was responsible for that, but certainly the people who were shot by police, and then a number of activists were tried and executed for having thrown the bomb. So there is a long history, and this is sort of one of the key incidents in the historical development of May Day. So there is a long history both of police repression in response to workers' demands and that sort of ongoing struggle, which we obviously see continuing today.
Yes, exactly. And it's not, you know, just May Day, but throughout history, we've seen that as workers organize to assert their rights against the power of capital, over and over again, they are attacked and intimidated and threatened by not only the police, sometimes hired thugs, whether it be the Pinkertons or the Baldwin Felts, who at one point were a larger army than our actual army of the United States, or, you know, the National Guard. Repeatedly, this has always been about class war.
Yeah. Famously, May Day was associated with the demand for the 8-hour day, for the reduction of working hours. But of course, the real struggle behind that, the demands of May Day are really about worker control. And it's not just for reduced hours. I mean, today, for a lot of people, the question is getting enough hours or getting enough money for the hours that they're working. So there are all kinds of issues associated with the demand for greater control over one's life, over one's work.
Exactly. From the very roots of May Day to today, it's really the same struggle. It's the struggle of people coming together to organize and assert their rights to not have our lives completely dominated by capital and to really challenge capital and to assert that really another world is possible where our lives are not completely dominated for the 1% to enrich themselves and squeeze ever more productivity out of people. A life where we can enjoy our life, that we can not only earn enough through our work, but that we can actually live our lives so that we can do what Marx talked about, that one could hunt in the morning, fish in the afternoon, rear cattle in the evening, and criticize after dinner, just as I have a mind, without ever becoming hunter, fisherman, herdsman, or critic.
There's a passage from Rosa Luxemburg when she talks about the history of May Day. The 1st of May demanded the introduction of the 8-hour day, but even after this goal was reached, May Day was not given up. As long as the struggle of the workers against the bourgeoisie and the ruling class continues, as long as all demands are not met, May Day will be the yearly expression of these demands. And when better days dawn, when the working class of the world has won its deliverance, then too humanity will probably celebrate May Day in honor of the bitter struggles and the many sufferings of the past.
Yes, that is an excellent quote, and it makes us think about the ongoing struggles today that are really fundamentally, although they are fundamentally the same struggles, I think it's also important to just highlight some of the ways that they have evolved. For instance, in San Francisco, workers have successfully fought for a retail workers' bill of rights, because what we are seeing is the same dynamic of capital squeezing more and more productivity out of workers to increase their profits, which is what workers were originally struggling against when they were demanding an 8-hour day as opposed to working 14-hour shifts. Today, we're seeing computer algorithms being used to do just-in-time scheduling, where workers are supposed to throw everything down from their families, whether it's childcare or whatever, so that they can be scheduled on demand by their employers so that they can maximize production and make record profits while workers' wages have been stagnant and we are facing record levels of inequality in America.
So where there was once this demand for 8 hours of work, 8 hours for sleep, 8 hours for what you will, now it's apparently 24 hours for whatever the boss wills, if you don't know what's going to come in your next hours.
Exactly. We have such amazing potential with the technology that has been created. And instead of this technology being used to actually improve workers' lives, just as we saw originally with May Day as industrialization was happening, this technology is being used to just squeeze more profits and productivity from the workers rather than improving human lives.
And there are so many areas of human lives and so many dimensions in which lives need improvement. I think of the passage in the first volume of Capital where Marx calls attention to the way that the movement for the 8-hour day really took off after the end of the Civil War in the U.S. And he commented that in the United States of America, any sort of independent labor movement was paralyzed so long as slavery disfigured a part of the republic. Labor with a white skin cannot emancipate itself where labor with a black skin is branded. But out of the death of slavery, a new vigorous life sprang. The first fruits of the Civil War was an agitation for the 8-hour day, a movement which ran with express speed from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from New England to California. So there is this important element of the struggle for workers' rights, which is it's when we rise up in solidarity that we'll be able to really create the better world that we all know is possible.
To celebrate the struggles of workers all over the world who celebrate this day as Labor Day, actually, instead of our Labor Day that has been divorced from our own history of very inspiring organizing and struggles of workers, but also to continue to build and strengthen these coalitions so that we can avoid that kind of division that capital really thrives on, and that we can build these networks so that we can struggle together for the 99%. It is a long struggle, and as Rosa Luxemburg said, hopefully we will get to the point eventually where all we do for May Day is just celebrate our complete success.
For the Old Mole Variety Hour, this has been Fran Michel talking with Hyung Nam.